It's nice to be home again. Just, you don't have to go just because I turn up, kids. Hallelujah. Fear and I were in the Philippines to attend the board meeting of the university there. And every year we have a board meeting in March. And I'm a board member of the university, and they train Christian leaders from across Asia and the Pacific. And that's their focus, but there are students there from Europe and America and just about every other country on the planet. And we had to be there. On the way home, we missed our connecting flight in Hong Kong. They said it's gone, and they said if you stop at the desk over there, they'll organize you. And this is a desk in Asia. This is not a desk in New Zealand where there's only three people. You get there and half the world is at the desk trying to find a seat in a plane. So we got through by the grace of God, and then they said it's gate 70, so we ran. And gate 70 is about from here to the lights So we ran. We got there and they said, it's gate 47. And it's on the other side. I could have smacked a Hong Kongese. But I just invented a new word, Hong Kongese. So got that sorted and tried to tell them that because we missed the flight, we're going to miss our flight to Whanganui. They did not even know where Whanganui was. I said, you're not meant to know. You're meant to give me a ticket. Because they said, if you stay another night, I said, you mean to tell me I stay another night and I'll catch the same flight? What planet are you from? And so anyway, we sort that out and flew to Sydney and then got to Auckland and last out of the airport because our bags were still somewhere between Hong Kong and Auckland. I got home and went to Christchurch the following day to meet with our executive. And then last weekend was in Samoa to attend the funeral of the wife of the general superintendent of Samoa. They asked me to come and see if I could speak there. So I arrived on Saturday night, about 11:30. And to preach in the morning at about 9 o'clock, catch a ferry to go to where the funeral was, and spoke at the funeral in the evening. We brought the body back to Apia and buried her at their plot, at their home in Apia. Melika, who passed away, is Tongan. She gave her life to the people of Samoa. Married a general superintendent and raised two children, raised a great church and a lovely lady, great woman of God. Fia couldn't be with me because she was speaking at a retreat out in the back blocks of the Kawatau Valley. But she came over on Sunday and was there for the burial. I thank you for praying for us. This coming weekend, we're speaking in Porirua at an Easter conference of the Samoan Assemblies of God. The following Wednesday, I'm going to Tonga to just speak for a couple of days and should be back before Sunday. Are you all right? Please keep me in prayer. Hallelujah. Pastor Andrew has been talking to you about the kingdom of God and some of the characteristics of the kingdom. And I wanted you to look at Matthew 13, because Matthew 13 has much to say about the kingdom. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the church. The church is the messenger that preaches and ministers the kingdom. Are you all right? And in Matthew 13 are the parables, and the parables are the parables of the kingdom. And I'll just read a couple of things for you. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. Verse 24. Another parable he put forth them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. Verse 31. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in the field. Verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leaven. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And Pastor Andrew's been talking on the nature of the kingdom is increased from glory to glory. The power of the kingdom is in the anointing that breaks the yoke. The anointing of the kingdom functions by gifting. And he will probably share that until he's through. But my purpose really this morning and in the next few times I speak is to get your mind changed. Just to minister to your head so that you don't think like you think like a kingdom person. Are you okay? Hallelujah. When Jesus came and Jesus followed John, and John's message was repentance for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus came, he said the same thing. Repent, because the kingdom is here. Repentance is the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia means to change your mind. That means if you're going to understand the kingdom, you have to change your mind. I can't change your mind unless you understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. To change how you think, how you perceive things. Say amen. And if I can do that, then I'm sure things will be very, very different, not only in your life, but the life of our church. The Bible says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, not the removal of your mind, but the renewing of your mind. Many people don't use their minds. They're so spiritual, they don't use their minds. They don't know that you're not. You're born again, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, scientists tell us that the average human being uses only 1/7 of his brain. His brain capacity is never totally used. Even the best scientists only use about 1/7 of their brains. That means 6/7 of you is dead. But it's not because it's dead, it's because you don't use it or you don't recognize it. Are you okay? So I want to speak a little bit on the kingdom and trying to get your head to think differently from the way that it used to think. If I can achieve that, then I'm sure we'll be a totally different church from what we've been. Are you okay? Now, a king is not the same as a president. You may think it is because they both rule, but a king is totally the opposite of a president, and a president is exactly the opposite of a king. The prime minister may rule, but the prime minister is totally the opposite of a king. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Why? Because the prime minister is voted in. The president is voted in. He may be the president of the most powerful nation in the planet, but he is still voted in. A king is not voted in. A king is what? A king is born. And when you talk about a kingdom is never absent from a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. And the Bible says, the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. The parables are parables of the kingdom. The miracles are not miracles of the church. They may be performed by the church, but they're not miracles of the church. Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is upon you. So when you cast out devils, you're demonstrating not the power of the church, but the power of the kingdom. Now Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, but I will give to you the keys of the kingdom, not the keys of the church. And whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you release on earth is released in heaven. But the keys are not the keys of the church. The keys are the keys of the kingdom. And you have to think as though you are in the kingdom because you are. Otherwise, you'll try your democratic brain to try and adjust to the kingdom. And it doesn't fit. It's like putting a, what do you call it? Square peg in a round hole. Hallelujah. Now a king is born and a president is not born. When a king is born, president is voted in, but the king's authority is inherent in the fact that he's a king. A president's authority is given to him by the voters. And the voters can tell the president, we're going to change you the next time. And the voters can give the prime minister his authority. The voters don't vote for a king. You don't give a king his authority. He comes with authority. Hello? When God created Adam, He created Adam. He said, have dominion. What is that? Rule over. Hallelujah. Now, you're not meant to rule over and people and dictate to people what you want to do. You're meant to rule over the elements. Hallelujah. And the reason you want to rise up and smack somebody is because there's a dominion authority in you that is inherent in you just because God made you. Now, God made you in the image of a banana. Huh? Hello? Well, let me take you quietly and then we'll go home and have some lunch. Or I can start preach another service, Psalm 1 service. And you'll find this. Now, many of the illustrations that we have fall far short of the ideal. Why? Because on the planet, there's no ideal kingdom and no ideal king. We can just use what's there to illustrate what we want to say for our understanding. And I hope we understand. When a king is born, he does not know he's a king. Why? Because he's a baby. He may be a king, but he's a child just like any other child. And if he was born in the hospital in Wanganui, there'll be a whole lot of other babies with that baby, and he's just like any other baby. Hallelujah. But what kings do, as soon as the baby is born, the baby is taken away. And the mother does not raise the baby. The tutors raise the baby. You say, is there a biblical example? Well, let's have a look. Moses was born, taken by a princess. The princess said, I want somebody to raise this boy. And guess what? God got the boy's real mother to raise the boy and raise the boy in the palace and raise the boy as a king, for the king. So even today, the royal couple are in the country. They were not raised by their mother. They were raised by tutors. And as that boy was growing up, the tutors will turn up and address the boy, "Your Majesty." That kid is just a kid. He messes the nappies, but they address him as "Your Majesty. Get the royal bottle." Why? Because inherent in him is the fact that he's the king, and when somebody comes in who is about the same age as his grandfather, that great-grandfather will stand there and look at the boy and say, "Master." Now, how can a grandfather say that to a little kid? Because he's a king. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, can you imagine if you were born and you were taken by tutors and every day it's drummed into you, "You're a child of the king. You're a child of the king. You're a child of the king. You're a child of the king." Guess what? You will grow up knowing that you are a child of the king. You will know that without a shadow of a doubt. And when you walk as a prince. You don't walk as an idiot. You dress as a prince. Why? Because that's how kings dress. You eat as a king. You don't slouch. You sit up. You stand up. Why? Because you're a king. Hello? Are you all right? Is this helping you? This will get rid of your inferiority complex if you can understand what God has done. Prince Edward was here, and one of the things that happened is it doesn't matter what house the prince goes to live at. The moment he lives in that house changes its name. What's it called? Palace. Palace. I don't care if it's in Castle Cliff or Aramo or in Springvale or up St. John's. It doesn't matter what kind of house it is. The moment the king moves in, that house becomes a palace. Hello? Are you okay? Now, if it's a shack, it becomes a royal shack. If it's a yacht, it becomes a royal yacht. It does not matter, because the king brings the integrity of who he is, and his nature determines. It's not determined by what's there. It's determined by him. Is that good? Now, how many know that Jesus was not born in a hospital? He was born in a stable. How many know kings came? The Magi were kings. Kings came to find a king. And they went to a stable. Why? Because the moment the king is born in the stable is no longer a stable. It becomes a royal one. Now, why did they come? Because kings recognize kings. And when they came because of his star, not his parents' star, his star. And they came to bring offerings and worship. They didn't come to worship the parents or bring offerings to the parents. They came to worship him. Hello? Are you all right? Now, one day, an old man came. He did not know that he came. And he said, "I know you're from God because no one can do the things that you're doing." Why? Because only a king can behave like a king. Some of you need to stop behaving like idiots. Behave like a king. And he said to the man, "How can I enter the kingdom?" And Jesus said, "You shall be, unless you're born you'll never see it. What does he mean? Unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. See, you have to be born into a kingdom. You're very quiet. You're making me nervous. Unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Now, how are you born again? The Bible says, you're not born again by the will of man or of the flesh. You're born again by the will of God. So when you give your life to Jesus Christ, as many as received Him, to them He gives the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe in His name. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So, when you're born again, obviously, well, I can't do it because my father, when you're born again, I can't do it when you're born again. See, when God gave birth to you, you are born out of the inside of God. The Bible says, he that is one spirit with the Lord is one with God. Hallelujah. Are you okay? The problem is, all of our lives, people have been telling us, you will amount to nothing. Look at you. Who do you think you are? And that comes in over and over and over and over again, that it's programmed into us until we actually believe it so much that when God tells us He loves us, I don't. You know, many of us believe our doctors more than we believe Jesus. The doctor gives you a pill, you have no idea what it is. It could kill you, but you'll go home and drink it. Why? Because your doctor told you. Now, a man told you that he loves you, and history tells us that he died for us, and we want him to prove to us that he loves us, and yet we'll believe our doctors when we don't know what he gives to us. The doctor has not conquered death. Jesus conquered death. Even the doctor's going to die, but you disbelieve Jesus and believe the doctor. What's wrong with you? Are you all right? A part of the thing I do with the mentoring class, I said to them, your homework is, I don't think they did it. Your homework is to do this. Find every scripture in the Bible that tells you who you are. Because once you know who you are, I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, I can do. You can't. Why? Because you don't believe it. Greater is He that is in who? In the pastor? In the governor? In the mayor? In you. See, when you know what belongs to you because of what Christ has done, hallelujah. And many people don't know what they've got. Now, just recently, now I don't know how to pronounce, maybe Pastor Andrew, if he was here, he'll tell me. But there are royal eggs, golden eggs, manufactured, what was it? Faberge. And a young guy went to a garage sale and saw this egg. And the lady that was selling it got it for $230. So I think the guy paid $1,000 or $1,600 for it. And he came home and his wife told him, what are we going to do with the egg? And he was trying to say, well, I think, you know, investment, or what? And by and large, it took quite a while, but The guy was just very despondent because his wife was on his case because he spent about $1,600 on this thing that he don't even know what the value of. And then he was on Google one day, and there was a photo, a picture of that egg. And it says this, somewhere in the planet is this egg. It's one of six or eight. And he Googled and he looked at the thing. Guess how much it was? 26 million. He had it on the windowsill. He did not know its value. Yet it was so valuable. And from then on, he got it off the window. And now he's scared. He's scared why? Because if somebody finds out it's in his house, they will wreck his house. And many times, you are created in the image of God with all His power, all His faith, all His grace, and everything. And many of us don't know what we have because we don't believe the God that created us, but we believe the doctor that God created. Now, got somebody to look up the value of that egg now. It's 31 million now. And one of those rich billionaires in Russia went to an auction and bought the whole lot, I think six of them. Hello? You are created by God to have dominion. But you will never know it until you find out what God has done. And the only way you find that out is you read the constitution of the kingdom. Are you all right? Say amen. Are you okay? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Galatians 4 that an heir owns everything. And he's the ruler of all things. But when he's a child, he's taken by tutors. Why? Because the king, when he's born, does not know what he's there for. It needs to be instructed. He needs to be instructed that he's a king. Paul said that tutors will look after you until the time appointed by the Father. And then you no longer are a slave. You become a son. And if a son, then an heir, joint heir. Hello? Try and believe this book. Why? Because the word of the king is the constitution of the kingdom. When a prime minister goes overboard, we have checks and balances in the country to bring him back. Otherwise, we'll tell him to get out of office. But a king, whatever the king says, is law. You know what the Bible says about this? This word is settled in heaven forever. Now, we said something last time I spoke, and I think it's maybe... It's one of those hard statements, like what Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life. That's a hard statement to understand. Unless you drink my flesh and drink my blood, eat my flesh and drink my blood. But we said something that was probably difficult to understand, but it's still in the scriptures. And we said this. God is sovereign until He speaks. You're very quiet. The Bible says God has magnified His word above His name. Now, what is your name? What is your name? The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall... Hello? that name. Yet Jesus said, I magnify my word about my name. What is your name? Your name is you. You know, when Moses asked Jesus, when Moses asked God, well, he asked Jesus. He said, what's your name? You know what he said? I am. That's my name. I am. I'm nothing aside of my name. I am. And God is the great I am. At the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, every knee on earth, every knee under the earth will bow. And yet, even though every knee will bow at that name, God has magnified His word above His name. What does that mean? The moment God speaks, even God is subject to what He says. God is sovereign as long as He doesn't speak. The moment He speaks, what He says becomes the sovereign. And His word is the sovereign. In the beginning was the word was. He's magnified that word above His name. And that word is so powerful that Jesus said, I will move the heavens and I will move the earth to see that my word is never violated. And God said, you belong to me. I gave birth to you. Are you all right? If God will move heaven and earth to make His word be true, what are we doing as a nation voting in things that are against the word? The only explanation is the people that vote for it, even the clergy that vote against the word, are not in the kingdom. Why? Because in the kingdom, the word of the king is law. You come to this church, you will get the Bible preached at you. If you don't like that, go find another church. And the reason we preach it over and over and over again is because the currency of the kingdom is what? Faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Faith does not come by you having heard. And well, I heard that. Bless your darling heart and stupid head. I don't care what you heard. It's what you're hearing now. Faith comes by hearing, hearing. It's present, continuous state. Hearing, hearing. And you need to hear it over and until it drums into you that I'm a child of the King. And those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Many of us say, well, I can't do that. I will grow up with the kumras and the rats. Well, eat the kumras and kill the rats. Why? Because the moment you're born again, God canceled your father, your background. You become a child of God. Hallelujah. And where English men never used to cry, they cry after you're born again. Why? Because you're born not of the will of... Let me say this. You know, in the Bible, you know, God said, this is the kingdom prepared for you before the... What? All right. You were not an accident, and you did not happen just because your mom and dad got together. Your mom and dad were just the thing that God used to bring you around. But you were always in the mind of God before the foundation of the earth. And sometimes you don't know what belongs to you until you understand what God has done. Hallelujah. Now, I've got a white car. It can do 180 kilometers an hour. I've done 147 in it. But this is what I wanted to share with you. Now, this is a very limited illustration, but it'll get the point, I trust. That car will never do 180. But that does not mean it can't do 180. If you talk to the manufacturer of that car, that manufacturer will put his life on it. This car can do this. Now, many of us don't know that the potential God has put into you, let's use the car, is 180 kilometers an hour. Many of you are satisfied to drive through life at 33 kilometers. And when somebody passes you at 45, you get very impressed. Not only are they underusing their capacity, you're underusing your capacity. But it doesn't change the fact that when God made you, you are made in the image of God with all the capabilities that God has put into you. And if you live to that capability, fine. If you don't, you still die and go to heaven, but you will never fulfill your potential. Even though you've got so much potential, it's not even funny. And many of you are just satisfied with 32 kilometers an hour. And you're impressed at me because I do 75. Now, I will sell that car one day. And until the day that car becomes rotted, it still has the capacity to do 180. But because of restriction by governments and things like that, no one will ever drive it at its capacity. Guess what? Your capacity is 180. You will never drive it 180. Why? Because everybody tells you you can't do it. There's a young Australian guy with no hands and no arms. What's his name? Nick somebody. That man will just intimidate you. Why? Because even though he's got no arms and legs, he does things that you just dream about. That boy has gone close to his capacity when most of us are just satisfied. And our car will rot doing 32 when it could have done 180. Story is told of a Red Indian man chief who found oil in his property. So he always wanted to own one of those huge limousine Lincoln thing with the horns in the front. So every day, he drives through town and waves at everybody. And he drives home, waves at everybody. And everybody was wondering why he does that every day. He's very proud of his car. And you know what was odd with it? Got four horses pulling the car. Four horses pulling the car because he doesn't even know how to drive, let alone know the potential that is in the car. So the best is sitting there waving at everybody while four horses, and there's more horsepower under those hoods than the four horses. Many of us are like that. We live and die and never fulfill our potential. The minister said this, the most richest place in the planet is not the gold field of South Africa or the iron mines of Russia, the gas capacity of the Soviet Union. The most wealthiest field in the planet is just down the road from you. It's in the graveyard. There are songs in the graveyard that have never been sung. There are books in the graveyard that have never been written. There are degrees in the graveyard that were never. And people live and die and never fulfill their potential. Don't go to the grave with all your potential. Empty yourself for others and go to the grave with nothing. Paul said, I've emptied myself. I've poured out my life as a drink offering. Jesus emptied himself for you. Let's empty ourselves of our potential and give it to others. And don't go to the grave just driving 32 when we could have been driving 180. You're a child of the King. God has given you dominion. God has given you authority. All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore to the whole world. Preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I've told you. Why did he say that to 12 men? How can 12 men cover the planet? Well, they did. We are here. Why? It's the power of the kingdom. About time you know who you are. About time you know what potential you carry. And live to be a blessing to others. Instead of consuming it on ourselves. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. Young couple went to see one of the tutors at school, and their daughter wanted to do medicine, and you know what the tutor said? You can't do medicine. That's a sad state of affairs. The reason she did is because she was the wrong race, wrong color. You say, where did that happen? It happened in Whanganui. That girl never got to take medicine, to do medicine. That girl is now just living with a partner, got three kids. But she believed what somebody said. It'll amount to nothing. Don't believe what the world tells you. Believe what God said. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand to the Lord. Father, we surrender our will to your will. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray to God, those ones, each and every one standing, and I stand with them, that we will not live life never touching the borders of our potential. Help us to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. And help us to realize who we are. And what you have invested in us. And help us to live in such a way that our lives will be emptied out for the benefit of others, even as you emptied your life for our benefit. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch our lives. Help us to live with dominion and authority that is inherent in us because we are your children. Help us to know who we are. Not the counterfeit that the world tells us we are, that the devil tells us who we are, but the reality and the truth. Hallelujah. That we are born again of the Spirit of God. Seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And everyone say, God bless you.